All right. Well, once I was talking to somebody about church, actually, and it was a relative, extended relative, and as I was talking to her about, she had just found a new church for her family, and I was talking to her about that experience. She was really excited about it, and the number one reason that she gave for why she and her family really enjoyed this gathering that they were going to is because she felt like they could go in and out and not be disturbed. That was her primary reason for why she enjoyed this gathering. And actually, this wasn't the same conversation. It was a couple weeks later, but it came up that she was talking about someone in her church. It was a gentleman that set a couple rows in front of them. He was there every week. And suddenly, he wasn't there anymore. It was 1 week, a few weeks, and he wasn't there. And they started to grow a little bit concerned. So he started to ask people around in that area, you know, what happened? No one knew. It took week after week. They were asking people. No one knew. And finally, someone had heard from someone else that he had actually passed away. But nothing was said in front of the gathering. And no one around him that sat around him even knew what had happened. It was weeks later that people started to figure out that truth. And unfortunately, maybe not to that extent, but unfortunately, many Christians come and go and don't participate in Christian fellowship. And this might be because they don't feel welcomed, or they're too busy, or simply because they haven't seen Christian fellowship modeled. They don't know that the need that they have for Christian fellowship. And the question I want us to ask ourselves today as we go through what Christian fellowship is and what it requires of us, the question I want you to ask yourself in the back of your mind is, are we intentionally engaged in fellowship? Are we intentionally engaged in it? And today, again, sometimes I know for these devoted sermons, we've been going kind of different places to grab a different text to talk about it. But today we are in one verse primarily. We're going to be all over the New Testament, but one verse primarily, and that is Acts 2:42 from the theme of the year. And we've been going through the book of John with Pastor James, and at the same time, we've been going through this sermon series called Devoted. Great looking banner, by the way. Phenomenal banner. Yeah, okay. Great banner, Kaylin. Okay, she said no. Okay, sorry, I'm not going to do it. I shouldn't do it. I should stop. I can? Thank you. I and Pastor David, we actually put the banner on the frame. So, yeah. Another reason why I'm kind of cooler than Pastor James. All right. Well, Pastor James has been going through the book of John. We've been going through this series called Devoted. It's based on the word of the year. We want to go back. We want to go back to the early church and rediscover what the church is supposed to be all about. And the reason being is that if you look around, I mean, numerically, we're growing. People are coming. And things are starting to change. And especially when we go into the fall, we're going to be reorganizing a lot of things, a lot of serve teams. Missional families are going to be multiplying. We're going to be adding leaders, looking for leaders, training leaders, all those things. A lot of things are happening. What we don't want to do is we don't want a local church that looks like what we want it to look like. We want a local church that looks like what God wants it to look like. And so when we go through this series, we're looking back at Acts, at the early church, and we're seeing what they are devoted to. As the Holy Spirit comes on them, they now are devoted to certain things, and that's what we are looking at here. And today, of course, it's fellowship. First, we looked at how they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, the word of God. And then we looked at Pastor David preached on the fact that they were devoted to prayer, faith-filled prayer. And today we're going to look at the fact that they were devoted to fellowship. And I'm diving right in and wasting no time because it is 12:04. All right. Number one, like diving right in, like number one. Number one, a fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. We're going to see what fellowship is, and we're going to see what it requires from us today. And what is fellowship? Fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. Acts chapter 2, that word fellowship that's used, it's a word that many of us are familiar with. Do we know it? It starts with a K, ends in oinonia. Koinonia, all right. Or the root common, which is koine. And it's often translated as participation, communion, or partnership. And ultimately, fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel, our shared life in the gospel. So what did they share in the New Testament? Well, Paul talks about it pretty often, because that word share as well, that root also koine. So here it says, the things that they shared in a common identity in Christ. They shared in a common relationship with the Holy Spirit. They shared in a common heavenly Father to whom they prayed. They shared in a common partnership in the gospel. And they shared out of their abundance to meet the needs of others. And that's actually later in our text in Acts chapter 2. And Paul goes on actually in his writings to provide several metaphors to refer to the church or to help his readers understand what fellowship really is. He calls members of the church fellow citizens, meaning that they have the same king. He calls them one family, meaning they have the same father. So God is not only your king, he's not only our king, but he's also our father. And Paul compares the church to a holy temple, of which the apostles and prophets serve as the foundation, Christ as the cornerstone, and the believers make up the building. And with this picture of what it means to be the church, we can imagine the importance that every believer has to one another. Because removing bricks from a wall drastically weakens it. And finally, he calls the church a body in which each member plays a role. Everyone serves a specific function that is essential to the body's health. I hope we can see the increasing intensity of those metaphors. The message is consistent and clear. The church is literally incapable of doing certain things when we aren't present, if we don't gather. Every single one of us, through the giftings of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, every single one of us brings a unique giftedness to this local gathering that everyone else benefits from. And I hope you see what that means. It means you belong here. If you put your faith in Christ, you belong here. And I think at sometimes we need to hear that. And with that belonging comes responsibility. It means that you have a role to fulfill when you come. And it also means that we should be committed to one another so that no one is afraid to be vulnerable. We should be comfortable sharing our fears with each other. We should be confident that when we tell someone our struggles, we aren't going to be the subject of everyone's conversation on Monday. It means that we should love one another to such a degree that we actually feel pain when others here are hurting. And it means that we truly rejoice when others here are blessed. That just comes from one word that's used. Fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. We are one local church bound together by a common purpose to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we engage in that common purpose, the relationships that result from that engagement, that's fellowship. It's our common life together in the gospel. I mean, in our context today, in Acts chapter 2, it comes right at the end of a sermon by Peter. And Peter, basically, he preaches the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And later in verse 32 of the same chapter, This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Peter preached the gospel. And what was the result of this preaching? I actually mentioned it last time I was here. The result is in verse 37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And they repented of their sin. They put their faith in Jesus. They were baptized. And then it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves. Fellowship flows from faith in Jesus. Fellowship flows from faith in Jesus. They are two sides of the same coin. You don't have one without the other. From their belief and devotion to Jesus flows their devotion to the fellowship. They come hand in hand. In fact, God has designed us in his image as social beings. We all want to and need to be with others. Some of us want it and need it more. Some of us want it and need it less. But we all want and need to be with other people. But the church isn't just another group. The church, the fellowship, is unique and distinct because it's been established by God himself. When he saves sinners from their sin, he adopts them as his children, thus making them a part of his family. He is Heavenly Father to his family. And God's church stands out among other social groups because God himself has called his children to be a part of it. God calls his people to join together, to live life together in the gospel. Because joining a club or a society is optional. But being in God's family, the church, being devoted to it, it's not an option. Through faith in Jesus, you are born into his family. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, but of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And I also say that's why when we come to gather together, we're not coming to hang out with our friends or our buds. When we come to the gathering, we come to see our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and our fathers, because we have one Heavenly Father to whom when we pray, he hears, he listens, and he answers. And his begotten Son, who gives us forgiveness, who walks with us, who comforts us, and his Holy Spirit, who is with us at all times, helping us and guiding us and directing us. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us, and we share that Father together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are born of God, part of his family. And I wonder if we're persuaded, do you have a deep conviction that as a Jesus follower, you have been called by God into his family, the body of Christ? And this family, as I mentioned briefly, the church is led by the triune God, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. I always loved the dedications. Just last week, we had a kids ministry training. And a part of that, we were just talking about how we are the church, and the church is multi-generational. And even though, yes, they're downstairs, it's one message, it's one God, it's one gospel. And those that have put their faith in Christ are the children of God. He is Father, we are his children. Jesus is the head, we are the body, and the Spirit is our guide. And so I wonder, do we see ourselves as a church attender or as a vital participant in the body? And by the way, this isn't just an FBC thing. Whatever local church, if you're new here, you're looking for a local church, whatever local church a follower of Jesus ends up at, he or she needs to answer this question. We are to be devoted to the fellowship because we are called by God through his son into the eternal family. Fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. Do we see ourselves as church attenders or vital participants in the fellowship? Because number two, fellowship requires commitment. Fellowship requires commitment. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And I think we expect the preaching, we expect the prayer. When we think of church, at least I've been guilty of this, we think of the worship, the music, the prayers, the teachings. But here it says that one of their main priorities was the fellowship. It's not nice whip topping on the dessert of the Christian life. It's crucial. A fellowship was a high priority in the early church, and I'm afraid many don't treat it that way. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says this. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, in view of your participation, or fellowship, it's the same word, in the gospel from the first day until now. Notice that phrase, from the first day until now. Now, look, starting relationships is easy. Continuing them is difficult. If we're going to experience the kind of fellowship that God wants us to have, it's going to require commitment. Because the greater glory goes to Jesus Christ, not when we go home and throw in the towel because something didn't work out the way we wanted, but the greater glory goes to Jesus Christ when we pursue and persevere in relationships in spite of any challenges we might face or any shortcomings that we might see in one another. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about growing in love together for the glory of Jesus Christ. And that requires commitment. And it's always required commitment from the first day until now. And I think that there's one mindset in particular that might get in the way of our commitment to the fellowship, and I've certainly been guilty of this. But it's when we come to the gathering in order to get, and to get, and to get. Now, this church, I hope, is a place for us to get, to receive. We certainly want to give with the goal that we would receive, and many others are giving with that same goal, but if you don't make the transition from what I get to what I can give, you're going to find yourself becoming increasingly dissatisfied. The gathering is a place to receive at the outset and to continue to receive, but it quickly needs to become a place to give. We might say something like, I've got so much going on. I've got so much going on at work, or my job is so demanding. When I come to church, I just need a break from it all. And I understand that there are seasons that are more difficult than others, and we all have so many various circumstances. And we certainly want FBC to be a place where we are refreshed, we want to be fed. That's right, and that's biblical. But the idea that finding refreshment, finding nurture for your soul, the idea that finding that comes in the form of sitting and listening and nodding and agreeing and talking to my friends without taking what you're receiving here and investing it in the lives of others who are also here, that idea is patently unbiblical. We want to be centered on the gospel. We want Jesus to be at the center of our lives, and that relationship grows deeper. Yes, as we study the word. Yes, as we worship him. Yes, as we devote ourselves to prayer. But that relationship also gets deepened as we get into the nitty-gritty of fellowship with one another. And that requires commitment. So we've seen that fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. And we've seen that fellowship requires commitment. And now we're going to see that fellowship causes endurance. Fellowship is a blessed gift from God. It is to be enjoyed. And it's a gift that he's given to us. And one of the blessings of fellowship is that it causes us to endure, helps us keep going. And this point here isn't taken directly from our text, but instead from the greater witness of the book of Acts and the New Testament. But fellowship causes endurance. And I want to address this because I think it's absolutely crucial in our own personal walk with Jesus that we understand this truth. We need each other. I need you, and you need me. We need each other. As we live life together and as we are committed to the fellowship, God uses the fellowship to help us endure. The early church will tell you about it because they were persecuted. And it was Paul who repeats over and over in his letters that God uses his people to help him endure sufferings and persecution. And I'll just use one example, though there are many. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through, I believe we're going to verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. And one of the ways that we endure trials is through fellowship. How many of us know that the beauty of God's church is often amplified in adversity? The fellowship of believers is a means that God uses to get the church through intense persecution and suffering through comfort, encouragement, and leaning on one another. In many ways, fellowship causes endurance in trials. We need each other. And I'll mention another aspect of endurance that I think we always need to remind ourselves of. Fellowship causes us to endure temptation. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, just on Sunday. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, which I think covers it, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. The truth is that being alone is dangerous. It's not just that we were made for gospel fellowship, we are dead meat without it. Now, we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but Paul or whoever it was, in verses 7 through 15, draws many of his words actually from Psalm chapter 19. I'm sorry, 95. And that psalm reminded God's people of what their ancestors had done right after they were delivered from slavery in Egypt and through the waters of the Red Sea. They fought with Moses. They argued with Moses, complained about him and God. Their hearts got hard. Unbelief overtook them. And Psalm 95 was written and sung to remind Israel not to repeat history. And Hebrews 3 is written for us for the same reason. The author pleads with these Jewish Christians not to go down that road either. He gives them two commands, and he gives us a purpose for each. Look at that command in verse 12. Verse 12. We must take care, it says. It's like if you were going to go hiking and there was a sudden cliff. And, you know, if you were to slip or something, you'd fall off. And then maybe there are signs around that cliff that say, watch out, walk carefully. Whether or not we realize or care to admit it, the situation is dangerous and it is cause for great caution. And the rest of the verse says that you or I might end up with an evil, unbelieving heart. It says we might fall away from the living God. We might love something else more than we love God. We might move from a heart being renewed in goodness. We might shift from a heart that's full of faith to the opposite. Our hearts could shift. We might fall from the faith in the sense that we reject God or we reject him wholeheartedly. For that reason, we have to take care. We have to look out. And take a look at the second command. So we have take care. And then it says, we exhort one another. And it's coming alongside a person and encouraging them. It means to help, to comfort, to push along the way. We need it regularly, and we need it urgently. Because in many ways, we're on the edge of a cliff. Our flesh tempts us to get as close as possible, and the world is down below telling us to jump. The devil is right behind us, ready to give us a shove. And we need to be around God's people all the time, not just on Sundays, not just in this building, but we need to be taking care of one another and exhorting one another as long as today is called today. And if you think, well, it's no biggie, it's no big deal, we'll get the podcast. We can play some worship songs in the car, no big deal. The pull of sin is powerful. And we need this exhortation regularly and urgently. And one of the means of grace that God has given us to endure temptation and trials is fellowship, as we take care and exhort one another. So what do we know so far? We know that fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. And we know that fellowship requires commitment, and that fellowship causes endurance. And we also know here that fellowship includes partnership in ministry. Fellowship doesn't stop with being in inner unity with one another, because it's actually primarily in the New Testament an action word. It's an action. The word koinonia, just that in that form, is used 19 times in the New Testament. And in addition to being translated as fellowship, it's also translated, as I mentioned, contribution, sharing, participation. And action is almost always included in its meaning. So fellowship, we see, is not just being together, but it's doing together. It's action. And it actually flows perfectly from our text here in Acts chapter 2. Their fellowship together led to partnership in ministry. They supported one another. They shared with one another. They built one another up as they worked in the ministry. Their shared faith in the gospel led to their shared resources, encouragement, and support. And for us, with the mission to reach this city, to reach our schools, to reach our homes, to reach our workplaces for Christ, to reach the barista across the street, with that mission, we need each other. Because ministry is hard work. Somebody say amen to that. It can be hard work. It's a blessed work, but it is difficult. And some of us who lead missional families, those of us who minister to others in our physical families, those of us who are serving or our serve team leads, we know that ministry is not easy. It brings joy, it brings peace as we walk in that obedience. But there are difficulties in ministry, and we need the support of one another as we participate in that ministry. Because the calling is too big for any one of us to take on. Aaron and Hur attended to Moses and noticed that his strength was failing. They noticed that Moses was getting weak. They noticed the pattern on the battlefield. So instead of giving Moses suggestions on what to do or lecturing him on proper arm strengthening workouts, they interceded. They made him a place to sit and then held up his hands. Scripture says that they actually held up his arms until the going down of the sun or the remainder of the day. I wonder who we can lift up today. Whose face or name comes across your mind? Is it your spouse, your missional family leader, someone you serve with? How can we start lifting up the arms of those around us we minister with? Because fellowship includes partnership in ministry. So what do we know today? Fellowship refers to our life together in the gospel. Fellowship requires commitment. Fellowship causes endurance. And fellowship includes partnership in ministry. And might have been a lot in such short time. But as we move forward as a gathering in this season, two gatherings growing, what do we take away? And I think it's simple. Let's gather. Let's gather to encourage one another, to challenge one another, to care for one another, and to join on this mission of making disciples with one another. Because we were created for fellowship, and now through Jesus, we get to enjoy it. Let's pray together and ask the praise team to come up.